car on the long drive back to Phoenix from San Diego, California. Just finished up the madness that is Phoenix Comic Con.
So, or San Diego Comic Con.
Oh man, I'm tired. Yes. San Diego Comic Con. Phoenix Comic Con is madness too, but nothing compares to San Diego.
Yeah, not quite as much of a drive.
Yeah, that's true. I wish it was the same drive. That would mean that we lived in San Diego.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, great show. Great show. A little, I'd say a little more relaxing than past years.
Yeah, we took a little bit easier this year than previous years.
Yeah, so apologize for any road noise. I will try to clean it up in post-production when I edit it. But just the nature of the beast. So Jaden and I both mentioned we're both pretty tired, so we figured we'd record a little, help keep us awake. So overall impressions of the show, Jaden. The good, the bad.
It was good. I enjoyed the show overall, but I did feel like it was a little bit, I felt like it was a bit less organized this year than previous years. Maybe it's because they were doing a new thing with the badges, the RFID, but I don't know. There's a couple points where it was, seemed like things could have definitely been handled a little bit better.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily feel that the RFID was that big of a deal. It was certainly in less places than it was at WonderCon. It did slow down how long it took people to get in, you know, actually into the physical convention center, because that's pretty much the only place they had the RFID. Very first walked into the building.
Yeah.
But I don't know, it's weird because you didn't have to use it when you would, if like say you exited out the back.
Yeah.
There were no RFID there, and then you came back around in the front. Like I'm not sure. I don't know.
I think it had both in and out. Like, I think it would check you in and out, but the people who were running it didn't really care whether you were going in and out, because I think it made different noises. Or at least the hand scanners made different noises. But I'm guessing that they just were checking to make sure that it was just a scannable badge.
Yeah. As opposed to WonderCon, where, you know, if you scanned in and didn't scan out and then try to go in again, it wouldn't scan right. You know, so
maybe it was kind of a test run for this.
Yeah.
Because it is the same company, right, that runs WonderCon, that does San Diego.
Yeah, same company. So yeah, I just found that weird that it was different. You know, I don't think it mattered, like you said, that whether you're going in and out, because like I said, if you went out the back and walked over to Indigo Ballroom and then came back in the front.
Yeah.
So it wasn't necessarily keeping track of where you were, but it was just authenticating your badge.
Yeah.
But it was in less places than I expected, and wasn't really that big of a deal. Where it was a big deal, as far as badges, was the fact that they mailed them out.
Yeah. I think that overall, you probably got, everybody got in earlier on average, but I think for people who wanted to get in early, who got in line early, I think it kind of screwed them over. Like, we pretty much could have gotten in at 9:30 at any point and gotten there at 9, and it wouldn't have been a problem. But if we got there at 6, then it was like iffy whether or not we'd get in right when the show floor opened.
Yeah, in past years, there were multiple lines to get in. There were lines in two different places. You had the line that was basically over by Ballroom 20, like over on that half, that where you would go down the elevators, or the escalators rather, that were by Hall H. You'd go down the escalators and walk in to Hall G, which is where Artist Alley was. Or you would line up in the sale, actually in the sales pavilion itself, you know, this zigzag line, and they would take you outside and around, and you would go down the mezzanine, and you would come out on the floor right by small press. Now, because they mailed out badges, they didn't need to use any area of sales pavilion for lining people up, so they just had one line to get in. And I think that's what caused a lot of delay and problems. Because like Jaden said, some people that got there super early, but once the line started moving, there wasn't really much line control.
Yeah.
Until you got like the last 100 yards. And so people could just jump the line at any point. You just happen to get there right then and you just join the line.
Yeah.
Or once the line started moving, you know, it was so far because everyone was in one line. I mean, it was this line that was a mile long. Once the line started moving, it certainly wasn't single file.
Yeah.
It was just kind of this mass of people moving. So if you wanted to walk faster than the person in front of you, you could just pass up a bunch of people as you were walking. So, yeah, it wasn't the best. It wasn't... Yeah, they're going to have to do something different next year, I think. Just to divide people up and let them come in two places, I think, is a better situation. So who knows? I'm sure we'll hear some feedback. So the same old story though with the Hasbro and the Funko and the Blizzard. The exclusives very hard to get.
Yeah.
I actually didn't buy any DC exclusives this year. That's one thing I didn't do that I've always done in the past. So Jaden and I were discussing earlier about kind of our personal evolution with the con. This was our 6th San Diego.
Yep.
The first year we only had Sunday, and it was kind of just like, in retrospect, I guess it was kind of good that we just had the one day. Wasn't too overwhelming, and we kind of had an idea of what to expect. And for the next couple San Diegos, the following one, the first one was 2011. Next one, 2012, we really focused on going to a lot of panels, specifically DC panels. Then we kind of realized that if you go to every single DC panel, you start hearing the same stuff.
Yeah.
Because there's some overlap. And we also, I think I started a sketchbook that year.
Yeah, I didn't have one that year.
Yeah, and then in 2013, our third year, you started a sketchbook after you saw my Germadale and bought one there. We scaled back on the panels a little bit that year. And then the following year, 2014, was all about the sketches.
Yeah, it was like pretty much our entire show revolved around sketches.
Yeah, that was a big sketch show for us. And then last year, 2015, still quite a bit of sketches, but also a lot of interviews concentrated on talking to creators for the show. And that was kind of the main focus. And this year, I don't know, a little different. We kind of wanted to do some more of the non-comic things. But I think kind of what we learned is that unless you make it a priority and are willing to sacrifice other things, it's kind of hard to do. The comic stuff is kind of the easiest, which is weird because it's San Diego Comic Con, you know, it was founded because of comics, but the comics, it's almost like less people are there for the comics than anything else, or it doesn't generate the same kind of excitement in a way.
Yeah.
You know, because I think you have some fans that are pretty rabid about one thing or another, and you know, it's a big enough group for whatever particular thing it is that they make it a priority, which means they're willing to go and get in line for whatever it might be, whether it's going to see Game of Thrones panel, or lining up to get an autograph from, I don't know, Wynonna Earp, let's say, mm-hmm. or buying Hasbro exclusives. You know, they put in a lot of time. And so for us, you know, this is the first time we were kind of interested in maybe doing some of those things. And so we would have had to sacrifice more than we were willing to. It's just, you know, it's just not worth it for me. It's just not really worth it for us to go stand in line for, you know, 2 hours and give up that much time that we could be doing other things, to go have an autograph, let's say. In fact, Jaden, when we first got there the first day, was in line to maybe get to do the drawing, because a lot of the drawings or the autographs, you have drawings,
yeah,
where you draw a ticket, and if you get the right kind of ticket, then they give you a wristband, and you come back later and get the autograph.
Yeah, some of you go and you do a blind drawing, and then some of the tickets have stamps on them, and some of them don't. If you get one with the stamp on it, you get the signing.
And if you don't get one with the stamp, you can get back in the end of the line and try again until they're all out of tickets with stamps. Yeah. So he wanted to maybe get an autograph for the cast from Man in the High Castle, but you know, we got there early. That was the first day, Thursday. We got there like before 6.
Yep.
And got in line, and we were in that giant line that we were talking about earlier. And by the time we finally got in, and he stood in line, but then you know the doors opened for downstairs, and I was going in right away because one of my big priorities this year was to get a Mark Brooks sketch. So, you know, he's up there standing in line knowing that the show floor is going to open at any second. And so it's like, you know, they were supposed to start doing the drawing for tickets at 9, and it's 9:30.
Yeah, and I had been waiting in line for about 45 minutes at that point. And around 9:05, I was like, if this goes to 9:30, I'm getting out of line because I feel like I'm missing out on the show because it just opened and the exhibit floor is open. And I wanted to get on the exhibit floor as soon as possible. So I was done. I was like, I'm not going to wait in this line anymore. It especially bugged me because when one of the people that was running the line asked me what I was in line for, and I said Man in the High Castle, I was probably behind 200-300 people in line. He said that not a single person he'd asked that question to had said that, so my chances were looking pretty good. I felt like I should have been... It should have been pretty easy for me to get and get a ticket for that, but because they put all of the signing people together, you had to wait for all of the people who were going to do the drawings to get ready at the same time. So if one of them was running late, we all had to wait. So I decided I enjoyed the Man in the High Castle, but it wasn't something that is like that much of a priority. So I decided I'm going to hop out of line and go down to the exhibit floor. Which kind of sucks because I wasted the first 30 minutes, but, you know, I couldn't complain that much. It is San Diego.
Yeah, so that's something that we kind of, you know, figured out. It's really hard, like I said, unless you make it a priority. It's kind of tough. Now, DC did their signings. They did drawings for their signings, you know, their wristband signings. Normally, they just give them out at the booth at the beginning of the day, but even they did it that way this year, so...
I don't necessarily think that's a bad way to do it, though, because previous years, it was... You had to, like, rush to the DC booth, and you're either trying to speed walk or even kind of jog a little bit to the booth so you could try to get in the line, but it kind of paid off more this year to get there earlier because you just walk in, you can get in that line for DC tickets. DC signing tickets, which
yeah, I didn't even see where that was though. So I don't know that
it was like in the sales pavilion on the left side when you first walked in.
So that was different. Like I said, priority for me, one of my number one priorities was getting a Mark Brooks sketch. I did get on the list. I think I was 8th in line. I finally got my Mark Brooks sketch. I asked for a Tron inspired Taskmaster. and it's everything I would want in a Mark Brooks sketch and more. It totally blew me away. I could sit and look at it for a long time. It was awesome. Also did some interviews, so those will be rolling out later this week. We went to see the Expanse panel.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
Yeah, the cast was all up there. Stage.
Pretty much everybody from all the main characters were there. Can't think of anybody who wasn't. Yeah, I think pretty much all the main cast was there.
Yeah, and, you know, we saw a trailer for season 2.
We should probably also mention that it was moderated by Adam Savage.
Yeah, he's a big fan of The Expanse.
Yeah.
And not only did we see a trailer for season 2, we also saw a clip of the, the ship called? The Naboo?
I think so, something like that.
Launching the ship that's being built for the Mormons. So that was cool. First time we'd been over
to the Mormons?
Yeah, the Mormons. Okay. First time we'd been over to the Indigo Ballroom. Didn't really get a chance to look at any of the stuff outside this year. We'd hoped to, but it just didn't work out.
Yeah, it's hard to, because by the time the show, you want to get off the show floor, I mean, the show's closing, you're either exhausted or it's so crowded you don't really want to go and fight the crowd.
Yeah, and while the show's going on, you know, we're busy, you know, talking to creators and that kind of thing, so... So Thursday, in a way, was a little frustrating. I wasn't on the press list for DC. Once again, it was some kind of snafu, but they did squeeze me in where they could, and I was very appreciative of that. And we will have set up a lot of interviews to be done at a later date with a lot of creators. So it'll actually work out better for all you listeners, because I'll have more time with them by having it on Skype. And it won't be so rushed, and it won't be so chaotic. So I'm going to continue to try to bring you interviews with creators where you can learn new stuff. It's not the same old interview where you're hearing the same thing over and over. Here at the Comic Source, we always try to keep our interviews fun and informative and different. So... And like I said, we'll be rolling out the interviews we did at San Diego throughout the rest of the week. So Friday, we kind of took things a little easier, like I said, than normal. Was Friday when we went to the Jim Lee panel, or was that on Thursday? I think it was Friday, right? Spotlight on Jim Lee.
I think it was Friday, yeah.
Yeah, so that was a fun panel. Jim Lee panel's always a fun panel.
Yeah, he's a pretty cool guy. He's always funny. I mean, his art's great. It's pretty cool. I mean, there's not many panels that can... Not many creators that have come to a Comic-Con that can bring that much of a crowd into a room like that and moderate it and all that himself.
What else do we do on Friday? Think of any... Give any highlights?
You know, we not really. What else? I'm trying to think. Because I know we went to the Valiant poker game on Friday night, but
yeah, that's another thing that always takes up a lot of time for us, just because of making the food and such. It's always It's always a big thing. It's always a good time, though.
Yep.
It's always a really good time. One thing that did kind of stink is I really wanted to meet Max Landis, and I Friday, the first thing we got in, we booked it over to the Image booth where they're handing out the bracelets, and we were pretty close to the front of the line. And man, they ran out of Robert Kirkman like quick.
I couldn't believe it. I didn't feel like... It felt like they only gave, like, 20 wristbands up for that or something.
I would guess they probably gave 50. That would be my guess.
Which seems kind of low, honestly, if he's... I mean, it's not like Robert Kirkman's going to be doing any sketches or anything. He's a writer.
But it's only for 40. I think they only signed for 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you think about it, they give out 50 wristbands. That's less than a minute a person.
Yeah, that's true.
So, but so got the Max Landis wristband, but then got caught up doing whatever and forgot.
Yeah.
And didn't get a chance to meet him, get my book signed. He did the Superman American Alien miniseries for DC. I really enjoyed it. So I had taken a couple of those to get signed.
For those of you who don't, might not know, Max Landis also is a writer for Chronicle. So he's a writer, right? Not yet. He's a writer for Chronicle.
And I had hoped to go to the Nerdist panel hosted by Chris Hardwick, but again, it was off, kind of, not off-site, but it's not in this main convention center. And
I think by the time we really noticed that it was getting close, it was probably too late to get in line for that.
Yeah, I was in the Indigo Ballroom, and even though it seats 2,600 people, I'm sure it filled up quick.
Yeah. Especially since he probably has blown up since Talking Dead has been so popular.
Yeah, exactly. So... Oh, you also tried to go to the Rick and Morty panel, too, but that was a complete bust.
I went to that, and I stood in line for maybe 15, 20 minutes, and then as they started to let people in slowly, I realized that they had doubled the line back about three times, and I was like, oh, man, I'm going to take off. I'm not getting into this, which isn't surprising to me. I mean, Rick and Morty's a great animated show. There's not many. It's probably one of my favorite shows on TV right now. So I'm sure that there's a ton of diehard fans. I mean, I saw the premiere or whatever, the sneak peek that they had one of the nights, and there was a huge crowd. So not surprising. I guess in the future I gotta go a little bit earlier.
Yeah, and then as we mentioned, Friday night was a poker game. I made banh mi, which is kind of like the Vietnamese version of a sub sandwich. Food was great. Poker game itself, not so much. Wasn't really catching any cards. And then I caught a pocket pair of fives, and hit three fives on the flop. So I went all in because I had the fewest amount of chips on the table. And a guy next to me called. He had me covered, and unfortunately, he had two kings and flopped three kings. So we both flopped a set. So yeah, just really bad luck, but it was a good time. I made Valiant lanyards, first official Valiant lanyards, first Valiant lanyards of any kind that I know of. So that was really cool. So there was a lot of guys from the Valiant fans forum there. It was a really good time. It's always fun to hang out with those guys. Dinesh, Sean Basani, Fred Pierce, Warren Simons, Adam Freeman, Hunter Goranson, I feel like I'm forgetting. As far as creators go, Robert Venditti, David Barron, was there anyone else? I think that was it. But yeah, that was a really good time. Made for a little bit of a late night.
Yeah, I felt like we, it wasn't as late as previous years, though. The poker went pretty fast. I feel like the sharks kind of went out pretty quick, so it was just left with the people who don't usually play poker that much. It means a lot of all-ins.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun, though.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Saturday, the crazy busy day. I don't know. Did it seem super crowded to you on Saturday?
I mean, it was the most crowded day, for sure, but it wasn't. I don't know. It wasn't overly crowded.
Yeah. Sunday this year, to me, felt more crowded.
Than Saturday? I don't know.
No. It didn't feel more crowded than Saturday, but it felt more crowded than previous Sundays.
Yeah. I think this year, crowdedness probably went Saturday, then Sunday, then Friday, then Thursday.
Yeah. And, like, I can remember past years, like, hanging out at the DC booth, like, as the show was winding down the last, half hour or whatever, and it being pretty much nobody in the booth.
Yeah.
Like, kind of empty. And this year, man, their booth was packed.
Yeah, pretty much until the end.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's the excitement for the movies, if it's the excitement over Rebirth. I don't know if it's both. I don't know if it's just the fact that overall there are more people there. Because, right up to the end, Their booth is packed, but there was a lot of people still there on Friday. I expected it to, or Saturday rather, I expected it to kind of thin out like it has in past years, and it didn't at all. So Saturday was the day that we went and saw the Expanse panel, like we mentioned.
Yeah.
And then Saturday, kind of an after-hours panel that was really cool. Well, I should say before that, the 6 to 7 was the Valiant Fans panel, which is always fun.
Yep.
Seeing everybody from the night before. Let's see, who was on? Josh Dysart was on that panel. Jody yep. Hauser, mm-hmm. Dinesh, Warren Simons, and Fred Pierce.
David
Barron, right? So yeah, good to see everybody. But then the after hours panel was kind of a tribute to Darwin Cook.
Yep.
So it was a bunch of his friends up on the stage telling stories about Darwin. They had a cool slide presentation with some quotes from his friends and colleagues about Darwin and pictures of his art. And you know, it's really too bad. It was an emotional panel. And yeah, it still bothers me. I wrote an article when he passed, talking a little bit about the one time I had a chance to meet him and how his passing kind of got me thinking about the fact that there's an older generation of creators that we're losing, and you know, take the chance to meet them and thank them. You know, if you would all have the opportunity, you know, even to the point, just reach out on social media and talk to them. And Darwin, he wasn't even part of that generation I'm talking about, but it got me thinking about that. You know, he was only,
he's in his 50s.
Yeah, mid 50s. So it's kind of tough. But Jimmy Palmiotti, one of his good friends, moderated the panel. Amanda Connor was there. Bruce Timm was there. One of the first gigs Darwin had was working on Batman the Animated Series, which is, you know, looking back at that series, perfectly suited to his style. Let's see who else was on the panel. Mike and Laura Allred were on the panel.
Amanda Connor.
Yeah, I mentioned Amanda Connor.
Oh, yeah. Frank Thierry.
Mark Chiarello, Scott Dunbar, and I think there might be one. Oh, Shelley Bond,
mm-hmm.
And man, I can't think if there was anyone else. But you wanna tell everybody about the cover to the Graphic India book that DC put out?
So, if you look closely at the Art of Darwin Cook DC book, I'm sure you guys can Google this. Well, I know you guys can Google this. Go to the image section in Google, and if you zoom in real close to the table in the diner, Jimmy's Diner, you can see that there is Green Arrow talking to two Green Lanterns. And if you look at his hand, he's actually flipping them off on the cover. So Mark Chiarello, who was the editor at the time for the book, saw that and was like, hey, what's up?
After they were all printed.
Yep. And he was like, hey, what's up with this? And he was like, oh, and Darwin Cook just laughed and said, yeah, how'd you like that? And he let it go. And
yeah, all the books were printed. Yeah, Mark was like, what am I going to do? I'm just going to, you know, let it go, and hopefully
nobody notices.
The other person...
Sounded like they pretty much got away with it.
Yeah, the book came out in October last year, and I didn't hear anybody say anything about it. So yeah. The other person on the panel was Cully Hamner.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that was a really, really cool panel. So that was our Saturday. That panel ran 8 to 9, so it was pretty late. And we went and got some sushi because, you know, we were in San Diego. Also, Saturday, I should say, that's when I, at the end of the day, I picked up my Mark Brooks sketch. So, again, it was absolutely amazing. Then today, first thing, had a Mark Brooks interview. And then we went to, later in the day, we went to the DC Secret Origins panel, How I Broke Into Comics, Jimmy Palmiotti, Mark Russell, Liam Sharp, Nicola Scott, Raphael Albuquerque, and Tom King. Moderated by Dan Didio. That was a really cool panel, as it always is. Mm-hmm. And other than that, you know, we did a bit of shopping, and kind of went around and talked to different creators. You know, talked to him about the books, talked to him about how great it is to see him, and talk to him. And yeah, that was our San Diego. So exhausting and tiring, but a good time as always. I recommend it if you're a comic fan. Even if
you're not like a huge comic fan, it's always, I think it's a good experience for pretty much anybody. It's even if you could ever get the chance to go at least one day, there's nothing quite like it.
Yeah, the thing is, don't go into it with any expectations, because I think the people that end up having a bad experience are the people that go in thinking they're going to get a bunch of free stuff, and they're going to get a bunch of autographs,
and they're going to meet a bunch of these different celebrities.
Yeah, I mean, like, I was literally 2 feet away from Will Smith at one point, and it was just lucky that I happened to be in the place. I didn't even want to be there at that moment, and it just happened. So just take it, you know, for what it is. It can be fun, but don't have too many expectations. So I think that's going to do it for this episode, this quick recap of San Diego. We'll have a lot more coverage and interviews and such coming up later this week. So thanks, everybody, for listening. Make sure you go to our website for all previous episodes of our podcast, comicsourceblog.com. You can also follow along on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for us on Facebook. Just search for The Comic Source. That's us. So thanks for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next time.
Bye.